Hare Krishna. We are starting today with our relishing of the Damodarashtakam, the Damodar prayers. And I just wanted to say a little bit in preparation of what is so special about these prayers. We find them in the Padma Purana, wherein Satyavrata Muni, the author, recites these prayers to a group of sages which are headed by Narada Muni. Sanatana Goswami describes this prayer as eternal and perfect. This prayer is something like a revelation which came in Satyavrata Muni's heart due to being such a deep and pure devotee. Like many of scriptures which are revealed to a devotee who then writes the scripture down, this prayer comes from another source. It is coming from the Lord directly. So for this reason, because it is such a divine prayer and thus has the potency to attract Krishna, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas there is a statement that one must every day sing this Damodarashtakam in the months of Kartik while one offers a lamp to the deity of Lord Damodar. You can also take a picture of Lord Damodar, but this is something which is a great, let me say, if you do nothing else, please do many things else, but pray this prayer. This is to be done, really. Other Vaishnavas have said that because this prayer has the potency to attract Lord Krishna, who comes and listens to the devotee who prays it, one should not just limit the chanting to the Damodar month, but extend it to make it a daily regular function. So at least in the months of Damodar, let us pray this prayer and let us understand really what it means. Today we will delve into the first verse of the prayer, and then in the subsequent days we will always do one prayer. So after 8 days, if you stay with us, you will be complete, you will have a more complete understanding of the verses, hopefully, so that you can chant them with genuine affection. Today I was reading in the Bhagavatam how Sanatan Kumar was praying to his Lord Sankarshan. And it was described that he prayed with deep affection. And therefore the Lord listened to his prayers. And it is said the many rubies and jewels on his heads were lighting up. In other words, he was pleased and he was showing this pleasure. So if we want to chant a prayer, it should always be with affection. A prayer without affection is like a body without a soul. It doesn't reach very far. So to get affection for a person like Lord Damodar, you need to know a little bit about him. And this prayer is full of deep insights. into the beautiful nature of Lord Damodar. So the first line or the first prayer is, you can chant along with me if you wish. You can get a text, and we will do this every day now. So maybe if you come and listen to this, you have the text handy. Namam Ishvaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalango Kule Brajamanam Yashodabiyo Lukalat Davamanam Baramishtyam Adyanta Todrutya Gopya. To the Supreme Controller, whose form of eternity, knowledge and bliss as a cowherd boy is wonderfully manifest in the village of Gokula, I offer my respectful obeisances again and again. With dazzling earrings swinging to and fro, he climbs down from a grinding mortar and runs in fear of Mother Yashoda, who after much effort finally catches him. So Sanatan Goswami has given us some light on this verse, and I will repeat something from his explanations. Satyavrata Muni addresses the Lord first as Ishvara, a known nomenclature for the Lord. It means the controller. But what does this mean? Sanatan Goswami lists three qualities of Ishvara. He is the possessor of all potencies or energy, everything, including this material energy, is resting on Ishvara, like pearls which are strung on a thread. Then, Ishvara means he's the sole Lord of the entire world. There can only be one Ishvara, and that is Krishna. And Ishvara, in a more personal way, a more close way, that's the way how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses it in the in his Shikshastakam. Ishvara in this more close way means my own dear master. With this, Satyavrata Muni reveals at once a secret of his heart. That is, that he relates to the Lord as a servant in Dasya Bhav. So some descriptions are given about this wonderful Ishvara, Namam Ishvaram. He has a form full of eternity, knowledge and bliss, and he is now a cowherd boy who is extremely beautiful and stays with all his associates in the village of Gokula. The gopis describe Krishna's fascinating form and beauty by saying, who could avoid to become attracted to you, especially if they are ladies? Why are you so attractive? Well, because you play your flute in a very certain way. Much has been said about Krishna's flute play. It's magic to make movable things like birds even and deers and humans stop in their tracks. They can't continue. It has been said that he can, when he plays his flute, immovable things become moving. In other words, mountains melt. But here, the gopis bring out a very special quality of Krishna's flute play. They say it is very sweet, madhurya, and the melodies come in a long, drawn out way. Sounds are, or the tones are long drawn. When some melodies, prayer is long drawn out, it characterizes the emotion of being separated, feeling this. So the Lord has long drawn out melodies, long drawn out sounds. Huh? Not like Namamishvaram Satchidananda Rupam Lasa Kundalam Lasa Kundalam. No. Namamishvaram Satchidananda Rupam. Long drawn out. No? Your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious. The gopis have, or the elderly gopis have talked about this, that Krishna's beauty gives beauty even to things which are usually not beautiful. Wherever Krishna is, everything becomes auspicious. The heart becomes auspicious if he is in the heart. The land becomes auspicious when he is in the land, and the rivers flow and fruit trees give fruits. The earth becomes auspicious by the grasses standing up in ecstasy when the Lord walks over the earth. The whole three worlds become auspicious by Krishna's beauty. And then they say, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer, what to speak of us human beings, manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Can you imagine beauty of anything coming into your eyes, maybe a landscape or a person, and the only response which you can give is that you show symptoms of ecstasy? This is real beauty. And the Satyavrata Muni gives one particular aspect of Krishna's beauty, that are his dazzling earrings which swing to and fro. These earrings are dazzling, they have a light, and when they swing to and fro, that light becomes reflected on Krishna's beautiful cheeks, which are appearing to be as dazzling as polished mirrors. So when the Lord comes, everything about him is effulgent, is beautiful. But although Satyavrata Muni brings this point, my Lord, whom I worship, is the Supreme Ishvara, the master of everything, the sole Lord of the world, he who embodies all potencies. He does something very amazing. That is, he climbs down from a grinding mortar and runs in fear of Mother Yashoda, who after much effort manages to catch him. So this, my dear devotees, this observation of Satyavrata Muni is very special. In this observation, he hints of what is called in Sanskrit a Paribhasha Sutra. This a verse, which is a Paribhasha Sutra, is something like a key verse which opens the door so that we can see something which was hidden away from our view. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this definition of a Paribhasha Sutra. He says, the Paribhasha statement situated in one place lights up the whole scripture, just as a lamp lights up the whole house. Imagine you come into a house and it is dark. You cannot see what is inside the house. And then all of a sudden, a lamp lights up, and then you see everything. So the 10th canto is like such a house. There are many secrets which lie distant from the observer, which he cannot see immediately. But by one verse, everything becomes crystal clear in the 10th canto. Would you like to know the Paribhasha Sutra? No, the Sutra. Sutra. Paribhasha Sutra. Or the regulatory verse for the 10th canto pastimes of Lord Krishna. Of course we want to know. This verse can be found in the 10th canto. I'm just now looking for it. There it is. Let me give it to you, because I'm sure you want to read the purport and so on. It's I have it just here, so kindly just hold on. Yes, this verse is in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, verse 45, and it says,
Raya Chopanishabhischa Sankhya Yoga Ischa Satvatai Upagiyamana Mahatmyam Harinsamanyatatmajam.
The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. My dear devotees, how is it possible that Mother Yashoda sees the selfsame Lord who is glorified and searched by all the Vedic scriptures, that she can see such an extraordinary person, the Supreme Ishvara, as her ordinary child? It's because of love. And Krishna responds to this love of his devotees. The love of normal devotees is small, the love of higher devotees is bigger, but the love of the Brijbasis is extraordinary. The love of Srimati Radharani is described to be extraordinary, special or not to be found anywhere else. It is this love where the Lord becomes attracted to and then becomes even controlled and ultimately, as you know already, bound. And this is the main theme of the Bhagavatam. Here we do not find a distant Lord, a Lord which we approach with great distance and we think we never will the two of us meet. No, here you find a Lord who argues with his devotees, who converses with them, who gives them tremendous delight by running away from them and then allowing himself to be caught by them. This is like the main theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And once you understand this, or once you see this lamp-like verse, everything makes sense, which was hidden before in the darkness. So let us end here by calling out affectionately and lovingly, Shri Shri Radha Damoda Ki Jai. Tomorrow, if you have time, please join us for the second verse of the Damodar Ashtakam. Please don't forget to bring your text with you so that you can chant it along with me. Hare Krishna.